Alleluia. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. After John had been arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God. This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. As he passed by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting their nets into the sea. They were fishermen. Jesus said to them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." Then they left their nets and followed him. He walked along a little farther and saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They too were in a boat, mending their nets. He called them. So they left their father Zebedee in the boat, along with the hired men, and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord. We enter into ordinary time, which we will live for the next 6 weeks until February 26th, Ash Wednesday. Jesus gives us the coordinates to live this season and every season. Gives it to us in his first homily, as short as it was. The time of waiting is over. The kingdom of God is now. Repent. Change your way of looking at things. Turn your head around, literally. And fully believe the gospel. Fully believe that the kingdom is there. Fully live. Today he gives us four verbs as a result of how to live in the kingdom. First is to convert. The second is to have faith. The third is to follow. The fourth is to fish for others. To enter that kingdom with us. This is the way we're called to approach the whole mystery of Christmas, which finished yesterday. When Jesus came into the world, we're supposed to turn all our categories around. God is now with us. We're supposed to believe in that reality that we're no longer alone. Called to follow him in the humility we see there and in the various other virtues. We're called to bring others to experience that same gift, just like the angels did. Likewise, the Lord's hidden life, which were abbreviated throughout the Christmas season, supposed to precipitate these four reactions. Jesus sanctified ordinary daily activities there in Nazareth, and so we're supposed to turn around from any ways that we waste the gift of time. We're supposed to believe that he's with us, even if what we seem to be doing is so humble and inconsequential. We're supposed to follow him in that hard daily work, sanctifying ourselves, sanctifying others, and offering that work to God. We're called to bring others to look at reality this way. Likewise, as we mark yesterday's Feast of the Lord's Baptism, as the Father and the Holy Spirit revealed just who Jesus was, when he came out of the waters in the Jordan. It's a way for us to turn around from any way we're not faithful to the baptism we were gifted to receive. We're supposed to follow the Lord faithfully according to those baptismal promises. We're called to grow in that faith that leads to eternal life. We're called to bring others, not merely to the saving waters, but to learn truly how to swim. Today, in the first reading from the book of Samuel, we see two different conversions that are necessary. First, we had the conversion of Peninnah, one of the wives of Elkanah. Peninnah, even when she would go up to the temple, even when she was on the outside worshiping God, was using it as an opportunity to make Hannah sad and ashamed. How much she needed in order to enter into God's milieu, to turn around, to repent, to believe in what the Lord had planted as seeds in the Old Covenant. But similarly, Hannah needed a conversion. She would go up to the temple and just weep. Her husband asked, "Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you refuse to eat? Why do you grieve? Am I not more to you than 10 sons? Elkanah had a little bit of an ego, let's be honest. He thought he was God's greatest gift to 2 or more wives. But we could substitute there. Could not God say to Hannah, "Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you refuse to eat? Why do you grieve? Am I not more to you than 10,000 sons? She was looking at reality in too worldly a way, and she likewise needed to turn around. And God would help her in his mercy. He would give her the gift of conversion. She would become not just a mom, but a mom of the prophet Samuel, would become one of the greatest people who has ever lived. Conversion, turning around, believing in God, following what God asks, and helping others to do so, is what she needed to learn, and what her son Samuel would help God's people learn. Similarly, today the church celebrates the feast of St. Hilary of Poitiers. What an incredible figure he is, monumental. He's pagan. Grew up from noble parents, if you want to call anybody in the 4th century noble in terms of blood. He received a very good pagan education, but he knew that something big was missing. He was longing, he was yearning, he was searching for the truth. Eventually he found the Hebrew Scriptures. He began to ponder that scene of the burning bush, and how God self-revealed as "I am who am," struck him deep to the core. Then he met some Christians, and he realized that "I am who am" took on flesh, and that burning bush assumed our humanity. Fascinated him even more. He became a Christian. He recognized as a Christian that the Christians were divided. Many desperately needed moral repentance, but others needed doctrinal repentance. The Arian heresy was very far diffused, especially in France. And the priests and the bishops weren't doing enough to counteract it. Even though basically he was a neophyte, he had been blessed with a great mind by God and some understanding. So he began to study like crazy in order to be able to refute the heresies of Arianism. And he did so powerfully. After only 4 years as a Christian, when the See of Poitiers was open, the Christians wanted Hilary to be their bishop. He wasn't even a deacon. He was married. He had a young daughter. He would have to be continent with his wife. She'd have to agree. But they appealed to him and prayed. And he needed to turn for a second time the way that he looked at all of reality around. With his wife's approval, he assented. He was ordained a deacon, a priest, and then a bishop. For the next 18 years of his life, he sought to help people live in the fullness of time, to repent from doctrinal and moral divergences, to believe in the Lord evermore, to follow him and to help others follow him. Because he needed to extirpate the Arian heresy, he was an unpopular figure among many, because the Arians were, at the beginning, the majority. They eventually got the emperor to banish him for 3 years. But he didn't sulk, because the Lord had blessed him. He knew that the Lord was still with him, even if he was in exile. And so there, he prayed and he studied all the more. And after 3 years, he returned to finish the job. It's kind of amazing in the life of St. Hilary. She was only 22 years a Christian, and out of those 22 years, 18 a bishop. And in that short span of time, he became a great doctor of the church because he lived with the Lord in time. The way we learn how to live ordinary time is by coming here and living the Mass well. It's here that Jesus preaches, calling us to look at things his way, to totally commit ourselves to him who preaches, to follow him in living what he proclaims, and to help others become living exegetes as well. The responsorial psalm, we asked, what return can I make to the Lord for all the good he has done for me? And the reply is, the cup of salvation I will take up, calling on the name of the Lord. As we prepare to lift up that cup in gratitude to the Lord for his vocation, we ask him for the grace to turn away from anything that keeps us from being truly Christ-like, to growing in faith this year in ordinary time, to the intensity he desires, to following him intimately, even in those areas in which we need his help the most, and then to be extra zealous in contagiously bringing others to live ordinary time as God intends. Praise be Jesus Christ. Thank you.